Welcome to the Quick Stop Entertainment QuickCast series featuring filmmaker Terry Gilliam. Part 4.
Well, what's the status of Defective Detective at this point?
It's just there. In fact, Richard LeGrovney just emailed me a couple days ago about it. I'm actually not working on that at the moment because I tried a couple big-name stars, because the only way we'll get it made is to get a big-name star, and the one that I was convinced could do it said no, so I sort of lost a little bit of... My problem is now it's very easy for me to lose confidence in the possibility of making a film. I'm trying to hold on to what enthusiasm and what imagination I still have left, and I don't want to imagine anything that can't get made anymore. So in fact, what I'm working on is Good Omens,
which has been gestating for quite a few years.
Yeah, just like Defective Detective, there are two projects that are sitting there that I'm ready. The scripts are there. Unfortunately, they're both expensive projects, and I've got a producer now who is really excited about Good Omens, and we're spending more energy on that one than on Defective Detective at the moment. But that's what I find, dispiriting, which I'm going through this more and more, losing confidence in my ability to get enough money to make these things. But this one, for the moment, has got me. At least the producer has convinced me we can do it.
Well, where's that loss of confidence showing itself? Because it's obviously, a lot of the stuff is simply out of your hands. You have no ability to affect it one way or another.
Well, no, it's not a loss of confidence in my abilities. It's except my ability to raise $80 million. That's where it comes. So I keep thinking, let's think more out of the box and see if there's another way of doing this. I was doing that with Defective Detective. Do you know who Dave McKean is?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Dave and I were spending a bit of time trying, because he did Mirror Mask for $4 million. And I thought, could I work like that? Could I find a way of doing it much, much cheaper? And that's still a possibility. And I think that's the way, what I have to do. There's a problem about this, but these things are still going to cost a fair amount of money. Whether I can get it down to $30 million, then can I get $30 million? I don't know. What I'm afraid I'm relying on now is I need big name actors to get the money. And I don't know a way around that one, because whatever I need is still more than, $4 million.
Well, speaking of big name actors, what is the current legal status of Quixote?
It's still tied up with the French production. Jeremy Thomas, who, produced Tideland, has got involved, and he basically says that a deal has now been done, because there's this legal process that's been going on between the French production company and the German insurance company.
It's always about the French and the Germans.
Always the French and the Germans, yes. That's the problem with the EU, and we're at the heart of it, and it's... But he got the right lawyer who seems to have done a deal, and now we're just waiting on the small print to be agreed upon. And I've been hearing this now for 2 months.
Now, is Johnny still interested in?
Oh yeah, Johnny's there, but I won't even think about Quixote until I won't even look at the script until I know we own it again, because that's. It's too painful to get involved in. And I think that's what's happening with Quixote, Tyler, and Good Omens. All, I just think, cracking scripts that should be made. And I'm about the only guy that could make them. And yet, it's how much energy you've got to expend on them before somebody says, no, we can't get the money again. I'm getting really tired of that. But yet, there's nothing else out there that interests me. And that's why I said I'm just going to concentrate on my own material.
Do you think it's been harder that you through most of these deals have been in the front lines? When you look at a lot of directors will have a producing partner who is the person who lines these things up, business details, and handles those headaches and those storms.
Well, that's what was good about Tideland, and Jeremy Thomas did that. It was great, fantastic. He handled that side of it. It took longer than we wanted, and that's why I went off and did Grimms, but in the end, it's all been done, and that's been wonderful. These other ones, I'm working with a guy named Stephen Evans, who on Good Omens, who basically he did put up the money and got the money to go to all of Kenneth Branagh's films, early ones, and he's in there. I like him enormously, and so we're sort of just, you know, having a bit of fun trying to put this one together. And what I'm trying to do is to make sure that we don't need, you know, the big stars. People like Johnny, if I become too dependent on people like that, I'll be waiting around for quite a while because he's got Pirates to finish again. He's still got to go back and do number three to finish it this autumn. And then he's signed up. He's got his own production company, so he's starting to do his own stuff. So he's somebody that's not available till next summer. And I'm trying to get Good Omens off the ground to be shot this winter. Because I think it's time just to go back and get behind the camera.
I mean, do you already have a sort of dream Gilliam cast in mind?
Oh yeah, and they're not available.
So do you have already a dream alternate cast?
I'm working on that one. That's exactly what we're talking about at the moment. I've been through number one and two already. Now we're moving down to...
Well, maybe you get Hoffman again.
And we shall see. But it's kind of interesting. There's two ways of approaching it. This is what I liked about what happened on Tideland. I was forced to work with Canadian actors. And the result of that is, you know, there's Joe Del Ferlin and there's Brendan Fletcher. And they're fantastic. And I can't imagine anybody doing it better than they did it. So,
I mean, Joe Del is just amazing in the film.
I mean, she's stunning. And it's, but I think Brendan is equally.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's really when you look at what the core of the film is the interaction between Dickens and Eliza Rose.
And so you sit there and say, well, I was forced into that situation, so now what I'm trying to do on Good Omens is to keep an open mind when names are brought up about who could do the parts. And I'm just trying to keep flexible because I think that's what was interesting on Tideland. I've caught in a situation where I just had to take what we were allowed to work with, and out of that, you know, wonderful things happened. Rather than approaching it saying, these are exactly who I want and no one else, and then you find yourself waiting. So I'm trying to keep a certain flexibility between about who I use for the angel and the devil.
All I can say is, please find some role for Jonathan.
Which, Price?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, Price is priceless.
who seems to turn in some of his best work whenever he's associated with you, even the smallest of roles.
Well, this is it. I mean, you know, I'll tell you what happened on Grimm's. When we were doing that, I mean, the Weinsteins hated what Jonathan and Peter Stormare were doing so much. Because that was the
first
thing we were shooting was with those two guys, and they just hated it.
What, so, you know, creating vivid characters was...
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I know. No, all I was getting was so much shit about, what are these two guys doing? They're terrible. They're over the top. They're disgraceful. They're, you know, it's just awful. There was a huge amount of pressure the first few weeks coming from all sides saying, you know, these guys are terrible. What's Gilliam doing? And I just love both of them. The problem with the Weinsteins is they don't really understand humor, and they certainly don't understand big performances. Now, Jonathan was wonderful in that, but boy, every day's rushes were getting hammered, and I just was plowed out. But it's something, Jonathan is so funny. I mean, even when we were casting that film, they didn't want Jonathan around because they said he's not funny. What are you guys talking about? This guy's brilliant. He's a great comedian.
All they'd ever seen him in was Evita.
Languages here.
All they'd ever seen him in was Evita. So, you have to forgive them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Jonathan's—he's actually on Broadway at the moment. He's playing Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Well, that's right. He's playing the Michael Caine role.
Yeah, and so he just sort of, you know, I haven't talked to him since he went off to New York, but he's been there for quite a while now. Now he's really good. It was interesting watching him in in Grimm's, because here's the reality. He actually wanted to play Peter Stormare's part. And that's when the Weinsteins wouldn't cast him. They wouldn't let me hire him. And so I said, he's Delatom. And in the first days when we were rehearsing, and Peter comes in, and Peter is just, he chews up scenery like nobody I've ever seen. And I love him for it. He's not afraid. And in the first rehearsals, Jonathan was competing with him. He was way up there going for it. And then very quickly after that first day, he looked and realized what was going on. And he just brought his performance down, and he just went in while Peter's chewing everything up. And Jonathan goes, whap, whap, whap. And he nails the funny bits every time. And sometimes at Peter's expense. Peter's doing all the work, and Jonathan's just pouncing when he needs to.
Oh, you can see that glint in Jonathan's eye when he's really enjoying a scene.
Yeah. And it's, and that's just wonderful, because he's very shrewd, he's very smart, and he's great at it. So I don't know, it's in Good Omens, there's actually a part that really should be for somebody else, but I know now that you're saying this, Jonathan could do it very well.
Well, he always pluses a Gilliam film, is what I say.
Well, nobody else allows him to be as funny as he's capable of being.
Well, that's, I'm shocked that how few, when you look at it, how few comedies he's done.
Yeah, I know. They think he's a serious actor. He's a great actor. He is, but he's a great comic actor. Brilliant. It's like Ian Holm. How many does Ian get to do that are really funny?
Which is, I mean, one of his greatest performances ever is as Napoleon and Time Bandits.
I know, because nobody was giving him the chance. And I saw him in, it was a TV production of The Misanthrope, and I said, oh, shit, this guy's funny. And then I got him to play Napoleon, and he just was breathtaking. And he's brilliant in Brazil.
I mean, and one of the few characters that have actually recurred in a Gilliam film.
Yeah, I know. So these are the good ones. It's when you try to cast them and you mention them to the money people, and then you get these blank expressions.
Check back next week for the next part of our QuickCast interview with Terry Gilliam. www.quickstopentertainment.com